The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. My name's Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I've got JC Carter.
Hello.
I've got Tiffany Steck.
Hey. It's been so long since I've been here recording.
It's been a couple weeks, hasn't it?
Over a couple weeks.
Like several months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back. You're not French.
Here.
You're recording now as a Frenchman.
I know.
So, something amazing, something incredible, something titanic, something monumental, paramount, you might say, happened to you last weekend.
It did.
Why don't you tell us all about it?
Okay, so on Saturday.
Yes.
It was my birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And we
Yay.
Went, yeah, it was fun. We went to Piper Down, not before I left my wallet, because we got there and then I realized I didn't have my wallet. So we had to turn around and drive all the way back home.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. You called it a practice run. No big deal.
Yeah.
We got there eventually.
When you and I were talking, we were on our way there. We pulled up out front. We had VIP parking.
We did.
And... that's when I remember to say, everybody's got their IDs, right? And no.
Wrong.
No, we did not.
No, I didn't even, didn't even think about it.
So we turned around, went home.
Yeah.
We're going out the door, and Angus says, everybody's got their ID, right? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, it's in my wallet. It's always in my wallet. As I'm driving there, as I arrive, as I pull around the block to park behind the, you know, you got to, I always park way all the way around behind.
Yeah.
I go and park and I get out and I'm like, you know what? I had to take my driver's license out and photograph it when I got my new tattoo.
Oh, shit.
It better be in my wallet right now. So I opened pulled my wallet out and opened it. Okay, it's there.
Oh, that's good.
But I was almost with you, Tiff. I was almost like, I got to go back home.
Well, I like to make an entrance.
Actually, it wouldn't be. I don't got to go back home. We got to drive to Murray right now.
Oh,
to Aloha Tattoo, because it's probably there.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
Yep.
Okay, so we're in the building.
Yes.
Everybody's happy and celebrating.
It was so fun.
Your mom
to
getting
see
laid.
Everybody, yes. You made a nice little speech.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you brought me up, which was
weird.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And then you had everyone sing happy birthday to me.
Yeah, you're skipping my favorite part of the story, which is where I'm trying to get behind you.
I didn't want to be right in front of
and
you.
And you kept turning around into me, and it was causing me frustration because I needed you to not look at me for just 5 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
And you were uncomfortable being the center of attention at your birthday party.
Yeah. I know. It was. Yeah, and then I turned around and you were down on one knee.
I know, and you didn't even hear my knees when I did it.
You didn't hear
that.
Because
everyone was singing.
It was adorable. I loved it.
It was
perfect.
And we were having some drama in our lives all throughout the last couple of weeks. And at that moment, it looked like one of the big problems had been solved.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Taylor. We had... my ex told my kids that if they moved out and left the dog, she'd put the dog down. So we've been... the youngest just moved out, and we've been desperately scrambling for a place for the dog to live. And he can't live here because the dog here is an asshole and bit him. And my dog holds a grudge, apparently. Did not know
I wonder
that.
Where he got that from.
Shut up. And we will talk about this later. By which I mean 4 or 5 years from now, okay. When I drag it up for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Hey, remember that time?
On the Love Show?
Yeah.
Because
so,
I was holding a grudge this whole time, yes. Yeah.
So anyway, Taylor's like, I'll just take the dog until you guys get this shit figured out. And I'm like, fucking great. And I start crying again because it's all I do nowadays. Apparently 50 years of stuffing my emotions into any available internal metaphorical box. It's starting to leak out.
Yeah.
Well.
Your suppression eventually means there's nothing, there's no space left to suppress, so.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah. You know this, you have enough comic book short boxes,
mm-hmm.
And after a few years, when you go to pick them up, they just fall apart.
Yeah.
And so all the cardboard boxes holding my random emotions, they're mm-hmm. falling apart. They're old now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway.
What an analogy.
I'm trying not to cry, and I get down on the knee. And I've got this whole sort of this little 2, maybe 3 minute speech in my head that I've been just kind of kicking around for the last 7 years. And I am too close to tears to actually talk, because now mm-hmm. something good has happened and now something amazing is happening. Because I was pretty sure you were going to say yes.
Yeah.
And fingers crossed. So instead of a big speechified speech, I just was like, I can't talk right now. Will you marry me?
Yeah.
Aww.
Because I was going
to
cry.
What were you going to say? Maybe you should say it to me now.
You're genius.
Aww.
You're beautiful. No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, it's not gonna,
holy
no.
shit.
You're going to make him cry on the show.
But you do. You took all my little broken parts and like a bowl mended with gold. I can't remember what it's called all of a sudden. But you did. You make me a better person. And that's important to me. You know? And so you saying yes was a validation of what a good person I am. I'm so great.
You have restored the person that I knew.
Aww.
In my youth.
Aww.
Well,
that was destroyed and broken by the woman who wanted to kill his dog.
Yeah.
I'm not going to miss words.
Keep in mind, though, as we're quantifying this, that I am not the slut that I was when you knew me in my youth.
That is also true.
Okay,
there was a natural confidence that you had lost, and I could tell, and it was hard to see it.
Mm.
You know who's confident in this day and age?
Who's that?
Tap dancers.
That's right. Well, they have to be.
Yep.
Because it's not like their pager goes off with new jobs every week.
So for those of you that were paying attention during the Trump administration and Melania doing her best time after time to make the White House at Christmas look like something Kubrick wouldn't use.
Yes.
Because he'd be like, you know what? I've gone too far.
Those blood trees.
Yeah. 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 Basically, the set out of The Shining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is what she put together that one year. But so Jill Biden, Dr. Biden, doctor,
mm-hmm.
doctor.
Had some folks come out that were dancers, New York based Dorrance Dance Troupe. They showed up and they did a big tap dancey thing all throughout all of the winter holiday decorations. It's really pretty.
It was Nutcracker themed.
Yeah. And it was, which I don't care for, but it was cute. You know, it's all these happy dancers in the White House dancing around mm-hmm. Christmassy themes and things and bright colors that would make a child, I don't know, giggle and laugh and have Aww. Eyes full of wonder and delight as opposed to the eldritch horror that was Melania's White House.
I know that hallway at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, with just simple little columns.
Yeah.
That just looked so festive and so nice. I was like,
the candy cane columns.
Cool. I like that. That's cool. Well done.
And then they do a little dance here. Oh, I'm going to make it loud for a sec so you can kind of hear. It's a little jazz.
Yeah.
I love this.
And it is the Nutcracker. I mean, I can tell who everybody is.
Yep.
After seeing the Nutcracker year after year for many years.
I'll turn that down a little bit. So it's just, it is, it's cute. It's adorable is what it is. And you got the tap dancers and all this. But there's a problem with it, sir. There's a problem that goes back to the core of America. And the problems in America, according to the right wingers, not everyone tap dancing was white.
I know.
And there's a one white dude. I can see him right now, but I'll bet you $5 he's gay.
Yep. Yeah.
A gay dancer?
Yep.
What's next? So, of course, you have the black dancers by the gay dance. I mean, all it is just a weird fever dream for a Fox News host. And boy,
yes,
they didn't disappoint. So Dr. Biden writes on her Twitter, a bit of magic, wonder, and joy brought to you by the talented tappers at Dorrance Dance, performing their playful interpretation of the Nutcracker Suite. Enjoy! And then a heart emoji.
Which, by the way, I would watch this Nutcracker Suite because it would entertain me far more than the Tchaikovsky version.
Yeah, which I have
for
seen.
Sure.
I've seen enough.
Yeah,
I've seen that more than enough. Yes.
Yep. one of the ones we got from Evita Duffy Alfonso, writing for what is this Outrage magazine.
Yes.
And her title was Jill Biden's Hunger Games themed Christmas video is an abomination.
Hunger Games.
Not theme. Only have I seen the Hunger Games, I've read the Hunger Games. You know, not
I
even Trump was bad enough to be
each other, but you know,
yeah, a total lack of murder.
Yeah, if anything was a Hunger Games themed thing, it was Melania's blood trees. Come on.
Yep. So a couple of quotes that they pulled. One of them is the dance performance isn't just weird. It's another opportunity for the Biden White House to slip anti-white racism and radical Marxism into the country's Christmas celebrations. Is that because Tchaikovsky was Russian?
They're crazy.
Radical Marxism? Two things very American in that. Jazz music and tap dancing.
Yep.
Not very Marxist, either one of those. So
nope. I got to be honest with you. As a former student of the art of dance.
Yes.
I don't know why you're laughing. I took several dance classes in high school.
I believe that.
Only because one.
Quite the hoofer.
What?
I said you were quite the hoofer.
Well, there were a couple of reasons. One was is that the drama teacher who knew I wasn't going to my other classes was like, if you want to hang out in the auditorium and fix shit all day, join a dance class so you're not sloughing, which is what we call it in Utah. I don't know what you guys call skipping class where you live, but we called it that for reasons I still have no fucking idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. And the other one was is she couldn't get guys in the dance classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
who were strong enough?
Well, I mean, she couldn't get guys at all. And so she's like, you're in the dance class. You're taking this one and that one and that one. So it was ballroom, modern dance, something called orchesis.
Yes.
Yeah. And so basically what they do is have me do the lifts because I could pick up the ladies. The problem was is that there were two other dudes in there with me. They kept tipping over and dropping their girls.
Oh, no.
I will leave them nameless. They know who they are and they know what they've done. But, I mean, you know, being the only guy in a dance class, it's like leotard heaven. I was 16 years old. I was the happiest I had been up until that point in my life.
No shit.
It was. Yeah, I took dance classes to work in the auditorium, and I ended up taking dance classes because of dance class.
Leotard.
Shelly, Angie. I mean, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. My senior year, my buddy Kyle, who was a tall, lurpy guy, needed an extra credit hour for phys ed, you know, a physical fitness credit hour, because he was just a big nerd. But he was also our main lighting technician, sound guy, everything. He was our tech guy. And he was in orchesis. He never danced. He never went up on the little stage there to learn any dancing. He was there to learn the dances so he could light them. That was her whole intention, but that gave him his phys ed credit that he needed.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was, for all the evil that she was, and she was evil.
Evil. Yes.
The drama teacher?
Yeah, she was the worst. Oh, yeah. She was not a good human
drama
being.
Drama and dance teacher. She was an evil woman, yes.
Yeah, but she would grab these weird fucking orphans like me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not going to class. I'm just going to hang out in the auditorium and fuck around. And she's like, yeah, you know, you might as well have some high school credit for that. Put on some tights, bitch. And I was like, okay, Elaine, I'll put on some tights. And then I did. I kept wearing the damn tights. So anyway, back to the article. Another one was, as colleagues of mine pointed out, the video looks more like Mardi Gras than a Christmas celebration.
That's ridiculous.
I wonder what they mean by that. What could that possibly...
indicate? What could that reference in there? Yeah.
Black folks.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset. There's black folks smiling at the White House.
Yes.
The first and most glaring problem with the Christmas video is that it's missing the point of Christmas. Nowhere is there a nativity scene in sight. Of course, no one would expect a group of Marxist tap dancers. What the fuck? Marxist tap dancers to include Christ in Christmas, because the group likely views Christianity itself as a colonizer religion. Well, it is!
It always has been, you idiot.
Yeah, and I happen to know a lot of black folks that sing a lot of songs to Jesus. That
if you go to our local, first Catholic church here, the Cathedral of the Madeleine, downtown Salt Lake City, and you study the stained glass that is basically the Christ story in pictures, which is how they always did it, because, you know, nobody read Latin back then, so except for the priests. So if you follow it, all of the depictions, they look Hispanic. They look Latino all the way around. The depiction of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, all that, they look Latino. Why? Because the Catholic Church says we make them look like the people where we, you know, the people whose place we're coming into and making them become Christian, usually by force, we make them look like that so that they relate to him. And Jesus is not blonde-haired and blue-eyed like all the Scandinavian depictions of Jesus are, and of course, you know, Republicans' version of Jesus. But I wonder where they got that idea, that Jesus should be blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Huh? Yep.
Well, I mean, they got it from a pope, but...
Yeah.
So, let's see. We got another one, and then I'll finish this one up, and we can get to the rest of the news. The same administration
I do want to point out that one other thing I want to point out from that thing she said. There's no nativity scene. I'm like, have you seen the Nutcracker? The nativity scene is nowhere to be seen in the Nutcracker.
No, because it's Marxist.
There's not even a stage. There's not even a set piece that shows the nativity scene off the corner.
Should be. God damn it. Goddamn Marxists.
Damn Marxists.
So anyway, the same administration that's made a mockery out of Christian values. Our country was founded on by inviting Marxist tap dancers and naked crossdressers to the White House. For that one was a trans person that did, for some reason, flash their boobs at people at a party on the South Lawn. Oh, tacky. Just tacky.
Tacky.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, Duke Ellington did this version of the Nutcracker. It's the only version I like.
Duke Ellington, you mean the man who was born in Washington, D.C.?
Marxist. But the do nothing GOP, when they're not complaining about Marxist tap dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw Karl Marx tap dance. There's not even a sketch of it anywhere.
No, he wouldn't have. He wouldn't have been down for tap dancing.
Are they? They've got to be Marxist because of the Tchaikovsky.
Yes,
that's all. That's the only way I can get there. Otherwise, it's just too fucking dumb for me. I can't think that dumb.
But they're Marxists because that's the favorite name to call us liberals, is Marxists now. That's just their favorite thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
I'm not a communist. I'm a socialist. And I'm pretty happy about it. But yeah, one of the things the GOP did this week was took a vote to start an impeachment proceeding to see if there's any reason to impeach Joe Biden. Not, here's a reason to impeach, let's have an impeachment inquiry. They want to do an inquiry about something that they don't know about yet. And when you break it down, you go through Benghazi, 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 year after year after year after year. Finally, they found out that she was improperly hosting her email server.
Right.
You know, when you found out about Monica Lewinsky, it wasn't because there was anything to do with Monica Lewinsky being investigated.
She didn't blow the whistle.
No, it popped up. It popped up in 11 years of investigations about the Whitewater real estate deal that it turns out there was no problem.
Yeah.
You know, there was no there. Nothing criminal happened. So now we've got the fucking GOP deciding that they're just going to go ahead and impeach, not because there's any reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean, revenge politics is rough for me. I am a revenge fetishist. I do enjoy getting...
When Hunter Biden was working in the White House, he made millions of dollars. Then when Joe Biden left the White House, Hunter Biden was paid $1 billion by the Saudis.
$2 billion.
Oh, $2 billion. Oh, wait, hang on. I'm getting... That was Trump's kids. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
She got $630 million, Ivanka did. Mm-hmm. She got hundreds of thousands of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars in Chinese patents.
Yep.
What's his name? Her husband, Jared. Jared. Oh, yeah. Justin was the sandwich guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that was Jared.
Jared was also Jared.
So anyway, Jared got $2 billion from the Saudis. $2 billion to run a money thing that he has never done before because he's a real estate guy.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of fixing problems, though, Senator Schumer, Leader Schumer, passed a bill that will pay back pay to all of the military members that were blocked by the Tuberville blockage. It's still got to make it through the House. So we'll see what it does. But yeah, they definitely deserve back pay. So way to go, Schumer.
That Tuberville blockage sometimes takes surgery and or chemo to get rid of.
It does. At the very least, a very aggressive enema.
Yes.
And then Ayanna Pressley passed a bill to protect books. She took aim at one of the right wing's more pernicious culture war issues, introducing a bill that would help fight back against censorship and ensure a diverse reading options remain available in public schools and libraries. This is the Books Save Lives Act. Basically, it classifies attempts to remove books dealing with race, gender, and sexuality as a federal civil rights violation. It would also require schools and libraries that get federal funding to include and maintain a diverse selection of materials. That is awesome.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
She always looks so regal.
She does, elegant.
Doesn't she? Yeah.
She does. Mm-hmm. I love a woman with a shaved head.
She looks very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. She looks badass. She looks like if she were disappointed with you, she'd tell you exactly why.
She would.
Yeah.
She's going to explain
exactly
why.
With pie charts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we've got the consequences to our behaviors.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different. You talk different. You draw different. You listen to music different. You probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com/defenmedia.
reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, not knowing, honestly, whether or not this is our Christmas show, the point I was trying to make with you guys, if we're deciding if we're going to record next week or not, is basically, do we want to record New Year's Eve? Because that's next Sunday. That's the Sunday after Christmas.
Well, I mean, when do you really start doing New Year's Eve?
Well, me? Early in the day, as soon as I get into my, let's call it headache medicine.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Yeah, that's one of those holidays where...
You also record these shows on headache medicine, so...
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, no, I mean, what it really comes down to is, you know, Christmas is very family-oriented, and there's this going on, and there's that going on, and it's Christmas Eve, and you might have last-minute shit to do. La, 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 la. You know, who gives a fuck about New Year's Eve, because I have no familial obligation. I don't have to wait up with children anymore. They're old enough to make their own bad decisions, and by golly, have they embraced that.
They're very good at that one.
Yeah. So basically, I want to find, for New Year's Eve, the nighttime at least, some adult behaviors to slip into.
I like that.
Do you? Is that okay? All right. So, yeah, I got to vote against New Year's Eve recording, unless we do it early. But, yeah, then so this is my way of telling you, the listener, I don't know if you're going to have a show next week or not.
Yeah.
You know what I can promise, though, next week? I think I can make this promise, if that's okay.
Okay.
We'll do an episode of I Told You So.
Yeah.
Next week.
Okay.
Okay. Because you're back on the mend. You were in the hospital for a week or two, and that kind of just...
Yeah, threw everything off.
Threw everything off. And so we need to get back to doing that.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. Well, we'll do that, guys. At the very least, you'll have something. And then this is the time of year where I dust off that relic of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and put that out for y'all to play for your kiddies. I'm going to remember to do it earlier. I would do it right now, but I don't have that much attention span. But I'll get that out. At the very least, that'll be in Patreon in the next couple of days, and then I'll put it out on the regular internet after that. If there's anything else you guys want me to read Christmassy-wise or Kwanzaa-wise, or I guess Hanukkah's come and gone already.
Oh, it's already gone?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It ends Monday, I think, if it didn't end already.
Yeah. So aside from all that... if there's any other Christmas shit, fuck it. I'll read the fucking nativity.
Sure.
Goddamn right I will. That was another one, you know.
I've often thought I should sit down and read out Christmas Carol, but I don't think I'm that pretentious, so I don't know.
I mean, I am that pretentious. I just don't have time.
I'm not that brave to share my pretension, I guess I should say.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, I'm totally pretentious enough. I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could do it. Mm-hmm. Hello, Mr. Cratchit. Hello, little one. I'm too poor.
If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stick of holly through his heart.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. So,
that's my favorite one from Christmas Carol.
Yeah. So, I mean... Really, when it comes down to Christmas, I'm not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I come from a broken home, and that really doesn't... I mean, there was some petty, weird shit when we were first divorced, but after that, you know. But the kids are grown. I don't have Santa obligations. And to be honest, working with Santa... I know that some of you guys listen to this in your cars with your kids. When I was working with Santa back in the day... You know, as parents often do, that was my favorite part. That was when I enjoyed Christmas. And now that, you know, my kids are grown and we don't work hand in hand with Santa anymore, he's more like Mel Gibson in Fat Man at this point in my life. Which, by the way, Mel Gibson being an evil son of a bitch aside, Fat Man is a wonderful Christmas movie. It's so fucking good.
Again, another favorite Christmas movie of mine, and it's an awkward one because it's Mel Gibson, but goddamn do I love it.
It's a fun movie. Yep. So, I mean, really, I mean, that wraps that up. But a Texas woman whose fetus has a fatal diagnosis had to sue the state of Texas all the way up to the Texas Supreme Court about whether or not she would be able to get a life-saving abortion and also to save her ability to have more children in the future.
Yeah.
It sounds like a no-brainer because it is a no-brainer. And again, 78% of the American public are pro-Roe. Mm-hmm. 78%. So Kate Cox, mother of two, is about 20 weeks, probably 22 weeks pregnant at this point, found out just after Thanksgiving that her developing fetus has trisomy 18, a fatal diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So she wants to terminate the pregnancy of basically the dead fetus.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken fucking Paxton, the attorney general of Texas, is like, no.
The impeached attorney general of Texas.
He voted for impeach but was let off.
Well, yeah, but we still say Trump was impeached twice.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
That's fair.
He wasn't. He wasn't under, removed from office, but he
under federal investigation,
Ken Paxton
on two different crimes, Ken Paxton, and then the Texas Supreme Court came back and they're like, you know, we don't pass laws; we're the court. The legislature passed the law. It's been duly signed into law by, you know, Governor Abbott. It's the law, and the law says no. And by the time the Texas Supreme Court was basically going, here's how civics work, you fucking idiots. She, Kate Cox, was in another state having her life-saving treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where we're at.
I just find the irony in the fact that it would also, even if she survived the pregnancy, she would no longer be able to have children.
Yeah.
And yet they were like, well, that's okay. I'm like, how's that pro-life?
Yep.
How's that pro-fetus? Yeah.
You know, who's an aborted fetus? Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin.
That's my best transition for this one. But yeah, Joe Manchin, who says he has not yet decided if he's going to make a third party run for president in 2024. Basically has said he'll go on a tour, a visiting tour.
Oh boy.
All across the United States to meet with what he calls blue dogs and Republican moderates. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Manchin. One reporter quoted as saying he'll stay in the spotlight until he's dragged out.
Yep.
But yeah, he says, and I quote, I've made the toughest decision of my life and decided I will not be running for re-election in the United States Senate. But what I will be doing is traveling the country and speaking out to see if there is an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle and bring Americans together, said Manchin, knowing full fucking well that he's going to pull votes from the guy who's not Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a fucking lunatic that fucks up everything he stands next to. Including Kyrsten Sinema, who, let's think about it, should have been the most fun member of the Senate. And this dude fucking broke her and turned her into garbage. You know, have you seen the dresses she wears? She's just entertaining as hell somewhere in there. And instead, she's just a bad person. A bad, bad person.
Yeah, she's a big disappointment.
Huge disappointment.
Well, you know, they...
And then, in a quote,
it was all that tasty money they waved under her nose. That all of a sudden she was like, "I'm actually pro business."
Yep, yeah. I'm pro pharmaceuticals, screwing everybody. Mm-hmm. What amazing money! The other quote coming from Manchin that kind of runs itself in circles says, "I'll start in January. I'll be 2 months on the road." And all we're trying to do is just mobilize people like myself who feel like they're homeless, politically homeless. I don't recognize the Democratic Party, and I have a D by my name. It's because you're a dick. I have a lot of Republicans that don't recognize Republican Party, that have R's after their name. You know, So the grand old party, and I guess the Blue Dog Democrats, they're homeless, and I hear it every day. Yeah, when you're talking to your mirror, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you live in your echo chamber, that's what you hear every day.
Yeah. You stood in the way of fixing the climate emergency, of lifting children out of poverty. Mm-hmm. You voted against expansion of abortion rights, and you voted against voting rights. So what you want is a Republican Party without Trump. That's I think the only reason Manchin hasn't jumped the fence is because that party is a little too fucking crazy for him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just it. I think that if we were looking at the Republican Party of 20 years ago, I think he would have switched parties already. Mm-hmm. Mostly because he's just a money grubbing, coal digging, garbage human being that I don't much care for. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
There is a binder, a 12-inch binder. 12-inch binder. Not 12-inch. Mm-hmm. 12-inch binder. Full of evidence and case statements of how things happened, how we found out about how they happened with Russian interference in the last couple of elections. Big ass right. finding in this
yeah.
in this thing. And it went missing when Trump left the White House.
How convenient.
And no one can find it. Huh. The last person it's known to have possessed said document was Mark Meadows. But that's all anecdotal. That's all hearsay because it was just somebody going, well, the last place I saw it was with Mark Meadows. And Mark Meadows is like, I don't think I was the last one to have it.
Oh, Jesus.
You know? Which shows you the deeper problem of, well, then who the fuck does and who the fuck did? My guess, Stephen Miller. But it's a guess.
Who's responsible on this team?
Yep.
I'll tell you who has it. Ivana. Ivana Trump has it. It's buried with her.
Maybe.
On that golf course. Yeah.
Yep. But a binder containing highly classified sensitive information related to Russian election interference was last seen in the White House at the end of Trump's presidency, raising alarms among intelligence officials that some of the most closely guarded national security secrets from the United States and our allies could be exposed. Its disappearance, which has not previously been reported, was so concerning that intelligence officials briefed Senate Intelligence Committee leaders last year about the missing materials and the government's efforts to retrieve them. Sources told CNN the binder contains raw intelligence that the U.S. and its NATO allies collected on Russians and Russian agents, including sources and methods that informed the U.S. government's assessment that the Russian President Vladimir Putin sought to help Trump win the 2016 election. So, yeah, you know what? I don't think he stole it to sell. I think he stole it to bury, and it is in the coffin with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. I'll go with you there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, President Zelensky was in town. He came in wearing his little army outfit, which I just adore. Mm-hmm. You know, keep in mind, I'm making fun of his clothes, but that does not mean that I disrespect the man. That dude is a badass. But yeah, what it comes down to is he's in town and he's trying to talk to Republicans about Ukraine aid. And they're just blowing him off.
Mm-hmm.
He encountered some very stern optimism or opposition from the Senate Republicans on Thursday as he sought approval for billions of dollars in additional U.S. military assistance for the Ukraine's ongoing war against Russia. During a day of meetings on Capitol Hill, Zelensky underscored the urgency of increased American assistance to counter Russian aggression and protect Europe. That's the important part, folks. You know, is they'll leave. Vladimir Putin will leave, you know, the Russian-speaking area and head into English-speaking area, which is where white people seem to care about. You know, they may speak with the English with this accent. Oh.
Uh-huh.
But they speak English, and that's where he gets a little pissy. Several Republican senators emerged from the meeting unmoved, reiterating their stance that any new aid to Ukraine must be contingent on the Biden administration and Democrats acceding to their demands for stricter immigration measures at the U.S. southern border. Lindsey Graham says, I told President Zelensky, here's the problem. It's got nothing to do with you. You've got everything anybody could ask of us, or you've done everything anybody could ask of you. This is not your problem here. No. He placed blame on the Biden administration for policy choices leading to what he describes as the nightmare on the border.
The nightmare on the border.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Things are fucked up on the border, but the reason that they're fucked up on the border is because Republicans have refused to fund the expansion of border assets. They're like, well, we'll put more guys with guns, but anything else you want to do, from lawyers to judges to facilities, you can't have. All you get is guys with guns.
Yeah.
That's where the Republicans want to fix things. All they want to do to fix the border is to start a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like goddamn Yosemite Sam over there and their chicken shits. Meanwhile, you've got a fucking war hero in the building talking to you, and all you want to do is tell him how racist you are against brown people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Republicans did. They told the war hero, the president of a fucking country, hey, we're sorry, we can't help you out. We're too busy hating Mexicans. Mexicans.
That's right.
Coming Mexican. Up here, picking our fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Our vegetables. I ain't eating no vegetable. I'm a Republican. You get your freedom fries away from me. Out here, pizza's a vegetable. They did that. Don't forget. Don't forget that anytime a Republican brings up, you know, that they think you're lying when you talk about weird shit Republicans do, they passed a law that pizza was a vegetable.
Yes, they did.
What?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, because Michelle Obama wanted healthier food options in school. So they're like, well, then pizza's a vegetable because we say so, because that black lady can't tell us what to do. We's white.
They were so upset.
They were so upset. They get upset about the dumbest shit.
I remember posting about that.
Yeah.
So dumb.
All right.
Well, they have nothing to run on. They have nothing to actually legislate. So what do? They just feign outrage on every little thing that they can.
Nutcracker dancers.
Exactly.
And feign the outrage. Lunches.
Put up a bullshit impeachment trial, all this other nonsense that they want to do. Why? Because they really have nothing to run on. And that's it. I mean, even a guy in their own party 2 weeks ago got up on the floor and said, tell me one thing we've done that I can run on.
Yeah.
What about,
like, even their own party recognizes it.
What about soft shoe dancers that follow Trotsky?
There you go.
What about more modern interpretive dancers, you know, that are who am I looking for? A fossaist.
Yes.
Yes, because for some reason, tap dancers are Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
So which dance, is it dubstep? Is that the one that follows Pol Pot? I don't.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the second time in a day I've brought up fucking Pol Pot.
You're talking about Pol Pot a lot.
Yeah. What do you know? Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side. I got some good news, I got some bad news.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Andre Brower and Ryan O'Neill. Mark Shepard is okay and all smiles.
Hallelujah.
at Moving Pictures. Who's taking over Paramount?
Me. I've been here the whole time.
Marvel announced a new Black Panther series for Disney Plus. And which Star Trek alumni is joining Foundation? In comics, Farrell is a cute and cuddly take on zombie horror, and Marvel settled with the Ditko estate.
About damn time.
We review Ultimate Spider-Man, Miles Morales Spider-Man, Moon Knight, Danger Street, Captain America, and the Highlands. All that and Major's Watch.
Oh,
Fixed
no.
Fixed Threat, True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere that podcast can be found. Except that one place.
We don't go to the one place, but you guys hear what they call fake noodles.
What?
Impostas. So, Rudy Giuliani. The bad guy from Underdog.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the bad guy from Underdog right now. I could probably just Google it, but I'm not going to. The bad guy from Underdog went to court. Went to court because he's a piece of shit. And what he's a piece of shit is there was a couple of poll workers in Georgia. Nice mother and a daughter.
Simon Barr Sinister.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Simon Barr Sinister.
Yep. Anyway, these two nice ladies that do volunteer work for the county clerk got singled out and told that they cheated on behalf of Biden. It never happened. There was no way for it to happen. It was a statistical impossibility that they could have done anything, let alone anything in the way that Giuliani did. So they sued Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
And
like you should.
Giuliani came out quite fucking guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the part of the trial where, see, told you the goddamn dogs were going to bark. They get to the part of the trial where they assess damages, and a jury awarded $148 million in damages on Friday to the two former Georgia election workers who sued Giuliani for defamation over lies he spread about them in 2020. That totally fucked up their lives with harassment, racist threats, and death threats.
There's a special place in hell for people who fuck with volunteers. I mean, really, they're volunteers. Makes me so mad.
Yeah. There was an audible gasp in the courtroom when the jury foreperson read aloud the $75 million award in punitive damages for the women. Moss and Friedman were each awarded another roughly $36 million in other damages. Money will never solve all of my problems, Freeman told reporters outside the federal courthouse after the verdict. I can never move back into the house that I call home. I will always have to be careful where I go and who I choose to share my name with. I miss my home. I miss my neighbors, and I miss my name. I don't think they sued him for enough.
Nope.
Nope. But so the jury comes back with $150 million. Punishment, right? You go outside, and the reporters start talking to Giuliani. And two things happened. One, we got to see the haircut on his lawyer. What the fuck? I mean, what? It's like business in the front, white supremacist in back.
That's right.
Yeah, it is. It's your business casual Nazi haircut, I guess. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just put haircut Giuliani lawyer into fucking Google and this will come up. But, so Giuliani exits the court and starts uttering his talking points that just got him sued and punished with a $150 million settlement. He starts the lies up again. He goes back to election denial. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. What else have we got this week?
We were talking about him and how he could have just, you know, after 9/11 and after he, you know, left the mayor's office in New York, he could have just become a like an advocate for 9/11 victims, you know, like Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Could have done all that. Would have been a big hero. We would have, Giuliani would still be beloved. We would have said, the only problem is he was a Republican, but he's great. He's a great guy. No, he had to go down this road.
His allegiance to Trump has totally fucked up his life. Like a heroin cocaine addiction could not have damaged him more than this, because everybody would have gone. I mean, fuck, Elliot Spitzer ended up working for CNN. You know, there's life after drug abuse. There's life after sex addiction. But this, you can't come back from this.
Nope. You'll never. Just him and the MyPillow guy they just ruin their lives, basically, by hitching onto Trump's bandwagon.
Oh, you got to bring me into it, do you? Oh, I see how this is. Is somebody going to sue me next, huh? Is that what's up? It is.
Somebody already has sued you.
What do you mean my pillow's not comfortable? I love my pillow. That's why I call it my pillow. I rub my tiny pecker on each and every one so that they all... Never mind. The gummy's kicking in. And I'm starting to be the old me.
Yep.
Special counsel, like Jack Smith, basically was like, you know what? Let's quit fucking around, Trump. So he asked the Supreme Court to immediately decide if Trump, and this is my favorite of his excuses in the last week, is immune from everything because he was the president. That it is Nixon's, you know, it's not against the law because I'm the president, but it's a lot more ignorant sounding, you know, even coming from lawyers. But yeah, so Jack's like, fuck it. Yeah, do it. And the court said that it would consider an expedited basis whether to hear the case, an indication that it takes special counsel Jack Smith's request very seriously. But yeah, the quote being, this case presents a fundamental question at the heart of our democracy, whether a former president is absolutely immune from federal prosecution for crimes committed while in office. That's what Trump says. Because I was president, it's not illegal. That's what Nixon said.
That's what Nixon said and wasn't getting away with it.
Yeah. Yep. But Trump's lawyer says that the Supreme Court agreed to the quick appeal demand because they actually agree with Trump. I think the Supreme Court, for no matter how bad they are, is going to remember, no matter how right wing they are right now, that sometimes Democrats get to be the president.
Yep.
And I think that reason, and that reason only, is the reason they're going to rule against Trump in this. But otherwise, no. I mean, it's probably unpredictable as fuck. You know?
Yeah, I'm like, it's either going to be a 5-4 or a 5-3. It's going to be a 5-4 in favor of Trump or a 5-3 against Trump.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Because you've got the three that he put in, but Gorsuch, to me, is kind of the wild card in that. He's got moments of clarity, I should say.
Yeah.
Obviously, the frat boy, no, he will always just do whatever Trump would have told him to do, because he's such a fucking moron.
Kucinich.
Yeah, and then the Stepford wife.
Amy Coney Barrett.
She had a promise of being pretty much, you know, I understand the Constitution, I get this stuff, but at the same time, she's never voted in favor of anything that I thought she would have. So
no, yeah. I mean, with her, she had a chance to basically model Sandra O'Connor. And, you know, instead she's a, like you said, a Stepford wife. She's out of the Handmaid's Tale. You know, is she didn't have to be that way. Everybody doesn't remember that O'Connor was not a liberal. She was just good on women's rights issues.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple other things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to besmirch her now that she's gone. But for the most part, I mean, Jesus Christ, it was fucking Bush that put her in the office, for Christ's sake.
Actually, it was Reagan who nominated
her. Oh, yeah. It was the right Reagan wing.
Nominated. Yeah.
You know.
Reagan nominated her. I don't know if she got pushed through before he was out of office, but I know he nominated her. So. Yep.
No, it was him. Yeah. You were right. I, for some reason, got Herbert Walker in my head, and I don't know why. Hmm. It's uncomfortable with him in here.
He's always hanging around.
Yeah. And every time I think of him, it leads to Dana Carvey doing Ross Perot in my head.
Yes.
Because you just, you go through the steps, and that's where it ended. But it is. But yeah, the Trump's lawyer says that, no, they totally did it. They totally did it because they are on the side of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think they're not the grown-ups in the room anymore, but I still think they're old enough to realize that if they side with Trump on this right now, Joe Biden never has to leave office.
Yep.
He could turn us into a monarchy. Because it's not against the law anymore. The Supreme Court said so. This is what they built, and let's see how it plays out. Do I think Joe Biden's going to stay? No. No, don't quote that, assholes. I'm saying he wouldn't have to, because it's not a crime. He can do whatever he wants.
We
got to rewind back to the 90s, because you all owe Bill Clinton an apology, because it wasn't a crime to lie about getting a blowjob, because the president apparently is immune from prosecution of all crimes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. Just saying. You know, just saying. And I don't care about this last article. So it's just more Jack Smith. Jack Smith is doing a wonderful job on everything he touches. I really appreciate the guy. But at this particular point in time, I'd like to talk to you about Patreon.
Yes.
Didn't see that coming, did you? Yeah, you did. We all know you did. But patreon.com/defendmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. I spell it out for you so I know that you can get there. Somebody was once used the excuse of not joining when I was teasing them about it. They're like, well, there was nothing at defend media. And that's why I spell it now. Just because. I think I'm funny. But every week that we record, we drop special content in Patreon, and that's where we pay for our hosting and basically a portion of the, you know, the software that we use to record the shows.
Right.
We're down to mismatched microphones and stuff like that. I'd like to replace, but we got new shows coming out. We got new levels on Patreon leveling out. You know, next year is going to see some wild and wonderful changes, and part of that is growth in Patreon. So why don't you join us on the ground floor, grandfather in as best the platform lets me, to the new functionality for you guys. But in the meantime, I think I'm going to just say thank you to JC and thank you to Tiffany for joining me this week. You guys are the reason it's not just me talking, literally. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. I hope you join us over on Patreon. And in the meantime, let's just do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.